I look back and I've a lot of people say we were poor and we have no resources. I always think that's a lie. I always say that's a lie because we got everything in life out there. You can stand at the top of a hill and look around. Everything's there. If you look, if you listen, if you have knowledge, you can be the richest person there. I was a little girl when I used to herd sheep, and I found this 2x4. We didn't have any toys in those days, and I never knew there was a town or another place besides where we lived, the Hogan. And I was herding sheep, and I found this 2x4. And I looked at it, and I thought, I wonder what they use this for. Because we don't use lumbers in our Hogan. But on the wagon, there are boards. So I guess I got to talking with my grandpa, and he told me there were lumbers. And then one day I was sitting there looking at the 2x4, and I started running this imagination. It's just a little girl. And then I thought, this is my baby. This is my doll. And I tore off one of my bottom skirt off and I wrapped it. And I don't know who told me to how to take care of a baby. But I used to hide it in the sagebrush because if I took it home, my grandma would build a fire with it. So every time I go over, she got pick it up and talk to that board. I don't know, maybe the wind took it away. Maybe my grandma found it and built a fire with it. But that was my childhood, you know. So along with that, my grandparents and my parents, they talked to me about someday I'm going to have a family of my own. And then I thought, what are they telling me? Am I good enough, you know? I'm a child here. And there was my aunt and my sister, but the PIA school takes them away and they go to school somewhere. I don't even know. So I stay home. I heard she wasn't old enough to go to school. So I learned to ride horse. It was a lot of adventure that I see besides becoming a mom and all the preparation of being brought up with the firm and instruction and all the artwork, how to take care of the livestock, how to fit support meat, and how to use the wool to make dress and blankets. And I learned all those things. We were taken away from a boarding school. They just load us up and haul us away. And I didn't see my parents for 9 months at a time. And they did all kinds of stuff to us. I had real long hair. They cut it off because I didn't know how to braid my hair. And when I learned, it took me a long time to braid it, so they just chopped it off. And that's how I went to school. And I always told my kids, you know, you're very fortunate. Your mom, your dad can speak English. My parents didn't speak English. And my father, he told me, he says, go to school and I want you to go after this piece of paper. White people are talking about a piece of paper. He said, go get it and show me what it looks like. He said, they call it diploma. I said, I'll look for it. I didn't know what it looked like. I was just a little girl. So I went and I went to school. And first I was in high school when I met my children's father. I was sitting in the classroom and he was sitting behind me. He had a pen and poked me right here. And he said, what's your name? And I didn't know what to tell him. I just didn't bother him. I think the third day, I finally told him. I didn't tell him my name, but I told him I got transferred. He asked me where I was from. Because I came in the midterm. And he says, "You're really smart." I said, "Maybe. I don't know." So he kept doing that, and pretty soon he said, "Let's go to a ceremony together." So we went. I didn't know he didn't speak Navajo. He was brought up in a mission. So I was talking to him in Navajo, and he said, "I don't understand what you're saying." That's how we met. We started going together, and he asked me if he could meet my parents. I said, "No." My mom, my dad said, "I'm not ready. I gotta go get a piece of paper." And I got my diploma. My father and my mother were there. When I walked across the stage, I went to them. And I opened my diploma and I told my dad, "This is what it looks like." He said, "How cheap." "This is what they're talking about. You spent 12 years away from us. What did they teach you to give you a piece of paper? We have worldwide, reservation-wide, what you learn. It's higher than that piece of paper." He wasn't angry, but that was his remark. And then right there, he told me, "By now, I think you know you're not done. You have to go again. You have to go to college, something called college. Go over there. There's another paper there. Go get it." When I had my first child, I was still in school. My grandmother's the one that delivered me. And of course, they don't talk about it. Nobody told me. It's private. And it's not going to be exactly the way they experience my parents. But I heard a lot of stuff through school. Health, and but it didn't dawn on me. It was just talk. It's not because somebody had a baby with a horrible pain, and some of them didn't even show they were having babies. And the only thing she told me is my dad got so scared. He panicked, he packed his stuff and took them outside. And he put them all against the hill and put the food out there, blankets. I don't know why he was thinking. And then they told him, "You come back in here, you have a little girl." So my grandmother said, "Who are we to talk about somebody else? Because it's our own personal experience." I went to the hospital. I had my babies in the hospital. I was by myself. That's the way it was. You know, they never were there when we were with our whoever we mate with. And, you know, it's something we made a decision on to have a baby. And after the baby is born, then they come in. My labors were really painful. I want the pain to go away, but I had my little girl. I look at my daughter and what I saw on that board, that 2x4, that's what my daughter looked like. Maybe similar, black hair. And I just cried. I cried because that's what I saw. That was the love I saw when I was a little girl. When I left the hospital from Tuba, I told them I want to go home. And they said, "Do you have a right?" I didn't want to be in there, so I said, "Yes, I have a right." So they gave me some little blankets and some bottle, and I don't remember what else they gave me. I was just a little kid myself. And then I went to this mission in Tuba. And then I found out we ran out of milk. I wasn't nursing her. I tried to nurse her. She wouldn't even swallow any. So I left her there, talking about child neglect. I left, I look around, there was nobody around. So I put her to bed and hitting her behind the blanket. And I ran all the way down to the trading post. It's just about a block. And I bought canned mail. I think it was carnation. And then I ran all the way back. I wasn't sure what to do. I was thinking about how we nurse the lamb and the little kids, you know. I was thinking about that. And then I went and asked one of the lady, and she gave me the knife. And I opened the can, and she asked me what it was for. I told her I wouldn't drink it. I didn't tell her I had the baby, because they would say, you know, everybody would gossip, if a young girl has a baby in those days, they would say, she's no good, she runs around, that's how she got pregnant, all this, you know. So I didn't want nobody to know. There was a man that had a little church down in our area. So he comes into Tubby City. He took us home. And it was funny. I got out of the car and I was carrying a baby. And he was no longer a 2x4. He was a real baby. And then they blessed my daughter and they put her in a cradle board. They left her arm hanging out and she was all waving at. And my mom said, "For now, this is my baby. You go back to school. Go do what your father had asked of you to do for yourself. So you can come back and raise these kids." Because my mom was my teacher. She taught me everything. I knew she would do better than what she taught me. You know, there are things she left out. Maybe she learned more about that she would share with my daughter. She said, "I'm not going to raise her. I'm just taking care of her." So I did, and I went back to school. It was okay. And then when it got to English, it got so difficult. And my professor told us that we had to write an essay. And I knew what essay is from my point of view, so I wrote it. And in front of everybody, she walked up to me. She says, "This is not how you do essay." And she was so upset with me. She looked at me. She says, "I don't think you belong in college." And everybody was quiet. I know everybody was listening. It took me a while, and I finally said, "You know, you said that I don't belong here." I said, "What if it's you that don't belong in here? If you think that I don't understand, whose fault is it?" I said, "You're the teacher. Maybe you need to do some more research and teach me how to do the essay the way you like it, the way you want my Navajo words to be turned around." And then after a while, when I come home, my little girl started saying, "My sister," to me. And that kind of put a little confusion in my heart. And I didn't say what or anything. I just talked with her, told her what she wanted to know. And it took a while, and one day we're sitting together, and she looked at me, and she said, "Is it true?" She said, "Sholanda, is it true you're my mother?" She was about 4, but I had my little girl. And that's how I look at it. I always say I was brought up in a very healthy environment. There was no drugs, no alcohol, no hitting, no spanking, no yelling, nothing. That's how I raised my family. I taught them everything I do.